Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and delighted to have you with us, starting the work week off right. We start with love. Christianity, as I think it's pretty much undisputed fact, Christianity is the religion of love. St. John tells us that God is love. Jesus himself enjoins us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what is love? That is our topic this hour, and we'd love to have your call, 888-318-7884. What does it mean to love as God loves? What is a person who loves as Jesus instructed, actually going to do? 888-318-7884. Whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not, your call is welcome as we discuss what is love this hour. And here to help us answer the question is the Bishop of Bridgeport, Connecticut, Bishop Frank Caggiano, born and raised in Brooklyn. He was ordained to the priesthood in 1987 in Queens and was installed as the fifth Bishop of Bridgeport in 2013. Bishop Caggiano was invited by Pope Benedict XVI to deliver World Youth Day talks in Sydney in 2008, in Madrid in 2011, and then by Pope Francis to serve as catechist at World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in 2013. Bishop Frank Caggiano, thank you very, very much for being with us.
Cy, it's my pleasure.
So, actually, our not only is our religion a religion of a love, I guess our society, including pop culture, talks constantly about love. So, maybe you could just help us with the most basic thing. What is it?
You know, it's you're absolutely right. It's probably one of the most used words in the English language, and probably the one that has the most variety of understandings among people. But we as Christians, I think we have a very basic understanding of it. And believe it or not, even before I realized it, it was my mother who basically gave me, growing up, a very concise definition of what we as Christians mean by love. Now, what do I mean? You know, Mom and Dad were immigrants from Italy. So when we were, my sister and I were growing up, they spoke Italian to us, and of course, and we responded back in English. So many, many a time, my mother would say to me in Italian, "Io ti voglio bene," which means, "I will your good."
Really?
Which is the Italian phrase to say, "I love you." And of course, I had no idea the real implications of that until I went to seminary and learned that love is an act of the will, to will the good of another without seeking something in return, whatever that good may be. So that love has an emotion, certainly. It has a great satisfaction. It could even have a passion between a husband and a wife. But it's an act of the will as well. It's not just an emotional reality. And that, I think, is where the modern world kind of gets confused.
Indeed, it does, because you think of how the modern concept of love includes falling out of love and losing love and love abandoning a situation. But if it's an act of will, it's something that's chosen.
Right. It's chosen, and it has to be reaffirmed. And has to be reaffirmed over and over again. So a husband and a wife love, and they love deeply, and they, so we say, they fall in love, and much of that is the attraction and the passion. But to will each other's good, they're going to do that hundreds of times each day by all the choices that they make. So the famous "I do" on your wedding day is relived over and over and over again in life. And it just strikes me that's true for everyone. It's true for priests. It's true for a friendship. It's true. It's true for any expression of what we call love, whether it's eros or agape or philia. You know, either it's a passionate love of attraction, or whether it is the love of friendship, or you know what the Lord revealed, which is the perfect love that exists in God Himself. The truth is, the most provocative affirmation of Catholic faith, in my judgment, is what you alluded to at our introduction. When St. John in his epistle says God is love. Now, notice, he does not say that God loves us.
Right.
He says more than that. He said God is love. And when you think about it, in the revelation that God is a trinity of divine persons, so he's a community of divine persons, and yet one God, it's the perfect self-offering of the Father to the Son, and the perfect self-offering, the willing of that good of oneself completely to the Father, and the love between them is the Holy Spirit, is a divine person, teaches us what love is, because it's a who. It's not a what. It's a who. And if the world could rediscover that, whether a person were Christian or not, what a dramatic transformation the world would have. But as Christians, we have an obligation to live it, because that's what we believe. That's what the Lord has asked us to do.
Indeed. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking love this hour with Bishop Frank Caggiano from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Your calls are welcome, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're Catholic or not. 888-318-7884. I have to say, Bishop, it seems to me that the Catholic Church in particular and Christianity more generally are, it seems to me, more and more, maybe not more and more, maybe it's always been this way, portrayed as kind of restrictive and rules-based and maybe even a little repressive. And that sounds like just the opposite of love.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's also a misunderstanding of what the Church actually does teach. Let me illustrate it this way. Another provocative sentence in the Scriptures is that Jesus says we are to love our enemies. Now, what does he actually mean by that? I mean, if a person offended you, hurt you, caused you tremendous harm, there's a good chance you're not going to like that person. That person is going to elicit some really negative reactions, and that is both natural and normal. But one can choose to do the good for that person, even if it means correcting them, even if it means incarcerating them for their good. But that's an act of love. You don't have to like someone to love someone. So when the Church teaches what it says about love, and when it comes into relationships, human relationships, friendships, marriage, all the rest, what really motivates it is, in part, living what Jesus has taught us, and also recognizing and reminding people that there's a grammar to who we are as human beings, that God made us a certain way, and to be totally satisfied, to be joyful, to be fulfilled, to find true happiness, then we need to recognize who we are and what it is that can give us that happiness. And the world's telling us 1,000 different things. Do what you want, do what feels good, do whatever else, what anybody else does. But that's all a recipe for perhaps not the joy or happiness or satisfaction that we're really looking for. It's found in God. And it's found in truly living love, willing someone's good, respecting someone for who they are, respecting their bodies and the temples that they are. It is built into the very grammar of being a human being.
Do you
so
find
it's a tough message sometimes, but it's the right message.
Yeah, I'm wondering within your work with younger people, when you in your bishoping of younger people, do they find the kind of tougher side of that you're actually willing the good of the other, not just that the other feel good, but that they be good and have all that's good? That they find that tougher side of love to be attractive or off-putting?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
Really, it is as different, I think, as the young person. But, you know, one of the great joys I have in my ministry is to work with young people and young adults. And in a lot of the different roles I've had over the years, I have traveled to many parts of the country. And, you know, and our differences are profound in many ways. But despite those regional differences and urban and suburban differences, you know, human beings are human beings. And what I have discovered is that for young people and young adults in particular, this question of love is at the heart of many of their struggles. And I could really define it in a single sentence, which sounds really bold, but the great challenge of the modern world is asking people whether or not they believe they are lovable and whether or not they are loved by anyone. And the world often wants us to believe that we are neither lovable or loved. And why I say about lovable is because if you're growing up in this world and you're not the best, you're not the brightest, you're not the skinniest, you're not the most athletic, you're not the top of your class, then everybody, particularly social media, tells you it's not good enough, you're never going to make the grade, you're never going to make it. You're always going to be in the second ring. And it's very easy to say, well, then what am I? Who am I? What am I worth in the end? And that reinforces this idea that I have to earn love, that I have to accomplish love, that I have to be made worthy of love when Jesus on the cross made us all worthy, opened his arms for everyone, saints and sinners, in his willing the good for us on the cross, the perfect act of love ever in human history. That's a message the world just does not understand.
No, indeed. Right. That is totally different than a message of self-assertion or kind of self-promotion. It's foreign to the world.
Yeah, or you have to earn it, or you have to be good enough for
right.
it. And,
yeah.
And I've seen so many young people, young adults, and middle-aged and old people, too, at this point. It's not just young people.
Yeah.
Struggle with that because they're not good enough, or they're never going to make the grade, or there's someone who's going to be the more attractive, or the more beautiful, or the more elegant, or the more well-spoken, or. But that doesn't mean anything for God. And therefore, as a Christian, what should it mean for us? Imagine a world that operated on that premise. My gosh, you're talking, Jesus came to bring the kingdom. You really begin to see the signs of the kingdom in the world.
Yeah, if we live that way, indeed. Bishop Frank Caggiano is our guest. The lines are filling up, but there are still lines available if you'd like to call 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour, what is love? 888-318-7884. This is the last week, by the way, of the big sale on Catholic Answers Magazine, one of the finest Catholic magazines in the world, possibly in the universe. But you got to get it now, this week. $10 off a one-year subscription, $20 off a two-year subscription. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and make sure you sign up this week and you get the deal.
Catholic Answers Live.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study. A nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Starting off this week with maybe the most important question you'd want to know the answers to. What is love? With Bishop Frank Caggiano from Bridgeport, Connecticut. 888-318-7884 is the number. Callers, don't worry. I am about to go to the phones, but I wanted to ask you one thing. What do you say to the person, Bishop, who says, hey, you know, I get it, love and all that and love and blah, 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 mm-hmm. but we're in the middle of a cultural battle right now. This is, you know, this kind of soft talk is not what we need. What we need is to gear up and get out there and fight for the truth.
And again, I think there's a tremendous value eternal value in affirming the truth and speaking the truth and helping people to understand the truth. But it's a false choice between choosing either truth or mercy. Right? That's a false choice. And in this question about love, you are really speaking to the hearts of individuals, not as much their mind. And I think we need to engage both, because otherwise religion becomes an intellectual exercise, and it's not meant to be that. It's meant to be the revelation of the truth, but it's also meant to be the path to our salvation, which needs to engage the whole person. And the battle of the heart is the battle of the modern world, I think.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Bishop.
No, please. No, please. I'm curious to hear your questions.
Okay, so I thought what I was going to do is go to calls. So we'll just go, we'll go to Jamie in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1080 AM. Jamie, you're first up for the week. And with Bishop Frank Caggiano, your question, please.
Yeah, hey, really quick. I love this topic, not to do a little pun of phrase, but I love
nice.
The topic.
Nicely done. Yes.
Yes, right. So at any rate, so Paul tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, that he had come to die for our sins that we may have eternal life. So if you wouldn't mind, Bishop, if you could please kind of expound on that a little bit, on this Trinitarian mm-hmm. love between God mm-hmm. the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how that manifests mm-hmm. or supposed to manifest itself as us as humans in this day and age.
No, Jamie, I'd be happy to, as best I can, because in the end, as we know, as believers, it is ultimately a mystery, meaning not that it doesn't make any sense, but it defies complete description and complete explanation. But it is the emptying out that is the key, I think, to understanding the life of the Trinity. That is, the Father pours out his entire divine life into his Son for all eternity. And the Son equally pours out his life to the Father. It is like a perfect, almost if you want to image it, it's almost like a circle that the one empties into the other fully and completely. The one returns that love fully and completely. And that very act is a person that unites them. Now, of course, in some way, shape, or form, again, it may sound a bit abstract, but when you look at the life of the human life of Jesus, then that's exactly what we see in the emptying, just as you said from St. Paul. It's the kenosis. It's the emptying of the life of Jesus freely. Wasn't forced to. No one forced him to give his life. He could have commanded 1,000 legions of angels to have overcome all of those who opposed him. But he didn't, because he freely, willingly, consciously, literally poured out his human life. For what reason? For our good, not for his, for ours. So that by the offering of his life, our sins could be forgiven and death could be conquered for our good. So in a sense, in the incarnation, Jesus gives to the world a glimpse of the same dynamic that lives in God. It's all about self-emptying. It's all about willing the good of the other, not looking at the cost for oneself, whatever that cost may be. At times it may be a small price to pay. At times it could be one's life that is paid. But it's all about that same dynamic. It's choosing to will someone's good in its fullness and not seeking something in return. And that's the part that I think the world oftentimes forgets. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. I think it's beautiful, and I think you're doing an amazing job. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm doing a good job, too. Let us go now to Sharon in Colorado. Wait, that wasn't self-emptying at all.
Not the least.
That was the opposite of self-emptying. Sharon in Colorado, listening to EWTN on 1060 AM. You are up next with Bishop Caggiano. Your question, please.
Yes, thank you so much for this, Bishop. Appreciate it. I have a saying, and I want to know what you think of it. And I think you probably just answered it with this last call, but it's true love is your willingness to be put out for the other person. Mm-hmm. What is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's aptly said. If by put out means offering of oneself or giving of oneself, yes, or emptying of oneself, yeah, that's I think that is a beautiful definition of what we're talking about. I love the image of pouring, because if you take a cup of water and you pour it onto a dry soil, like a parched piece of land, the land is transformed and the water disappears, but it's still there. It's just transformed what received it. So putting out for another, pouring out, yeah, I think it's a beautiful definition. Well done.
All right.
Wait, if you, is that what you say? Pouring out would be better?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Or I would simply say willing the good of for another. But yes, the same idea is it is consciously giving of oneself so that another person can achieve what they need to have for their good. So,
you know, Bishop, it's so easy to say, I love you. But when you have to really do something and put yourself out for the other person, that's a different story.
Right. And I think that is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. And then, because the world uses the term love so loosely and so imprecisely and so theoretically and conveniently, you're absolutely correct. And then when it really matters, then people refuse to make the choices they need to make. You know, I am not a parent, obviously, but a parent, when a parent corrects a child, his or her child, that is an act of love. Even when it, as my father used to say, this will hurt me more than it hurts you. And I always said to myself, yeah, I'm right, I wonder. But it's true. It does take a great toll on a parent when they have to be firm. But that's real love. That's willing their child's good. And that's exactly what you're saying. And if parents or friends don't correct other friends, even when it's hard to do, when putting out for your friend could put you in a position where your friend may react or become angry, but if it's done with respect and it's done because it's love, because you need to do it, exactly your point. If you don't do it, then you're not really loving the person.
Sharon, thank you so much for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number here. Bishop, what if somebody says to you, though, however, I just can't do it. I feel overwhelmed by life, or I'm exhausted, you know, with the kids, and I just don't feel like I have energy to really genuinely love, you know, the stranger that I see who's in need, or the person I meet at the supermarket. I just want to get it all over and get to bed. You know, what do you say to that person?
Well, first of all, I mean, that person, he himself or herself, also needs to be loved. And okay. See, and that's the other piece of the great mystery of the Trinity. And we who form the mystical body of Christ, particularly in the church, Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's two parts to that. How well do we love ourselves in the true sense?
Mm-hmm.
Willing our own good first, and then willing the good of the other. So that person who's exhausted, and we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up and you say, I don't know if I can do this. This is too much for me. But if there is a real community of love, then when I falter, someone can help pick me up so that I can do the best I can in loving whoever I need to love. Love is not meant to be exercised just alone, but there's a communal aspect to it. That's the beautiful mystery of the church. For we're more than an institution. We're the mystical body of Christ in the world, Christ loving us to the end and we loving each other. So if I can't do it today, your love for me will help me to do the best I can and help me the next day to do better.
Mr. Frank Caggiano is our guest. Callers, don't despair. I see every single line full, but we're going to work really hard to get y'all in when we come back from the break. So hang on. More with Bishop Frank Caggiano on Catholic Answers Live as we try to answer, well, the bishop's got the job of answering a really primordial question. What is love? More of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Bishop Frank Caggiano, our guest this hour. He's the Bishop of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and we were going to kind of celebrate with you on today because Steve Lee up there in Connecticut, relative to where we are, and his team are getting Veritas, the Catholic network of radio stations. They were supposed to be up and running today, and we were going to celebrate with you. I think we're delayed by about a week, but congratulations on getting Catholic radio all over Connecticut.
Yeah, it's tremendous, tremendous. And you know what? Because our traffic probably is as bad as yours in California, and we have people sitting in cars literally for hours trying to get home, my hope is that all those commuters are going to start tuning in, and that time can be catechesis, can be uplifting, can be transformative. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, the key that we have found in really growing Catholic radio is to make sure that Catholic Answers is on every evening. I don't know what else you can do. There's probably other things, but that's the most important one.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't it be? I agree.
Thanks. Well, you know, tape is rolling right now. I just want to... So that's going to be Veritas Catholic Network will be on AM 1350 just in a matter of days here. So look forward to that. You're having a thing coming up. You and I know our boss, Chris Check, is going to be there. There's going to be a big evening kind of.
Yes, I think it's at Steve's home, I believe. It's Saturday. It's the official inaugural kickoff.
Oh, so. That's exciting. That's exciting. We're looking forward to being on there, and congratulations again. I'm sure that it involved a good deal of your personal support, and so thanks, because you know a bishop's support makes all the difference to these Catholic radio stations.
And if I may just say this, it's the solemnity of Peter and Paul, which is ideal for what we're talking about.
That's right.
And the inauguration of a radio station. Right?
Yeah. Man, would they have, they'd have been all over radio if they could have.
If they had it.
Yeah, yep. Right. Our topic this hour, what is love? Our guest, Bishop Frank Caggiano from Bridgeport Diocese in Connecticut. And up next is Sally in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Sally, thanks for joining us. Your question for Bishop Caggiano.
Thank you so much, Father, for taking my call. I feel like the Holy Spirit, like made me turn on the Catholic radio and hear you talk, because so much of it sort of resonates with me today. I'm a convert, and I've been married for almost 16 years. And recently, my husband and I have been going through a lot of difficulties, and he's kind of left his faith, not going to Mass anymore. And he told me that he's been trying to will himself to be committed to our marriage and to be in love with me. So as you can imagine, it's been really, really difficult. We have three kids, and I guess any advice, can't force anyone to love me, but all those feelings of feeling like I'm not worthy or unlovable, and, you know, maybe today my husband will fall back in love with me, and it's been really trying. So any advice would be great.
Well, I mean, first, I'm sorry that you find yourself in that sort of position, because it is extraordinarily difficult. And you have children, I take it, as well.
I have three girls,
There's three girls. So for them as well, when they see that sort of issue. And what I'm hoping and praying is that you have someone whom you can see in a private venue to really talk through a lot of the dynamics and the feelings and all the rest. Because in this sort of forum, I don't think it would be a wise idea to do that. But I can say this to you. I think in any sort of relationship, at times when they fall into difficulties, those are the times where key choices are made. And again, it's about making choices. It's about making decisions. And to the extent that your husband can understand that because relationships are so complex, that there are, you know, emotional part to it, but there's also an act of will part to it, and there is a good that needs to be affirmed. And I'm hoping and praying that he could make that choice to continue to try to work out whatever difficulties there are. We live in a world that says to us, we don't have to make that choice. But I'm hoping that can be the choice. But I would just simply say prayer is essential for your own spiritual well-being, and for that for your girls and for his. But prayer is absolutely essential. The Lord is never closer to you. The Lord is never closer to you than the hours of your greatest suffering. And that is what I have learned in my life in other challenging times I have faced. So please don't forget that as well. But I promise to pray for you and for your husband and for your daughters as well. But I'm hoping that you could find someone you could really work, you know, speak from the heart about what the struggles are, and to get more personal advice.
Okay, Sally.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Sally. God bless you.
Thank you so much for that call, Sally. It's true for most of us, I think, Bishop Caggiano, that you know, if we're not in the vowed religious life, or we're not ordained, for most people, marriage is the school where you kind of learn what real love is like, mm-hmm. and you either learn it or you don't. It's a choice, but it can feel so bad at the time that the learning is going on, that
right.
I got to get through this too, and this and this and
right.
But it really does. I mean, God's no dope. He made marriage for a reason, and he made it permanent for a reason, because it has great power if you let it be the school.
Well, it's transformative. See, there are, if I may, just two quick observations. The first is a husband falls in love with his wife because she was chosen, as he was chosen for her, to be the one person, to be the spiritual companion, to help you to walk to heaven. Because the ultimate goal of marriage is to be a foretaste of the perfect love that exists for all of us in heaven. So if you consider that of all the human beings that exist, right, for a man, of all the women that exist, that this is the one woman God chose to be your companion in faith, that's remarkable. That's just remarkable,
yes,
if you consider that. But we live in a world that says if there are struggles and if there are problems, then you don't have to choose to work through them. You can choose to leave them aside. All right. So I love the image of school. That's a beautiful image. So it is a beautiful image because when I went to school, I didn't have the option when I didn't understand something or I was bored to get up and just walk out of the classroom. At least in my day, we didn't do that because you had to stay there and, quote unquote, really work it through. So you understood it. You could. So the same thing in marriage. I pray for a time when the world will stop inviting people, encouraging people, cajoling people to say, you got a problem, walk away.
Right.
That's when love can deepen even more.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you.
But if I may, last thing, in marriage, but two have to decide that because one can decide to stay and one decides to say, you know what, it's too much work, I can't do this. And that's what's completely heartbreaking.
Right. And we see that so much of that. Sally, thank you very, very much for the call. We go now to Chris
in
San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Chris, your question for Bishop Frank Caggiano.
Father, thank you for taking my call. Bishop, I'm sitting right now in a parking lot. It just got through raining. And so the water's running off the parking lot. And there's also areas where there's grass. And the water's not running off. They're soaking into the ground. And this is kind of my dilemma, what I've seen for years. We tell people Jesus loved them. We tell them that Jesus died for them. The problem comes in is, you know, I'm 54, in the last 40 years, this Jesus that's presented as a human person who had a human nature and somehow has a title of divinity, but in truth, the church teaches that Jesus is not a human person, but a divine person with a divine nature assumed a human nature. And this is what I mean. A divine person with a divine nature can see into the future, can know me, even though I'm 2,000 years away, and he can love me and die for me. And where the catechism says Jesus knew and loved us each and all during his life and agony and his passion. But when other people, it's like the concrete, when they hear that, they see it kind of like, you know, a soldier dying for his country and his countrymen. Well, he doesn't really die for the individual. So how do we, besides prayer and speaking out, how do we, and I'm talking within the Catholic Church, within priests and deacons and religious and laity, to turn this around to where that Jesus was more than human, that he loved us as a divine person.
Oh, that is a beautiful question. Chris, Bishop?
Well, it's actually a profound question. And I think it is, in many ways, you have diagnosed one of the major challenges we face in a post-secular world. Because there are many Christians who do not understand what you just said, that they do not see Jesus as for who he really is. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity who took on a human life, a human nature, and is a man like us in all things but sin, just as Paul says, so that we might share his divine life. You know, St. Athanasius says, God emptied himself. God, who was eternally rich, became poor so that we who are born poor can one day be eternally rich, even share the very riches of God. So if you don't believe what you just said, that Jesus is a divine person with a divine and human nature, then all of that promise is lost. And it, as you say, it becomes almost like a hero dying for his country or for the cause or for, but and how do you do that? Like, how do you recover that? Well, see, I'm a big, very big believer that you need to go and sit before the Lord, and we need to close our mouths, and we need to allow the Lord to speak to us. You know, I am a big proponent of Eucharistic adoration for that reason, because that same Lord is right in front of us under the form of bread and wine, or in that case, under the form of consecrated bread. That is the same Jesus there, real, substantial. And people need to encounter him for who he really is. So I think prayer is essential. We need to preach the truth, which you said so beautifully. And I also advocate that we need, as often as possible, to bring people before the Blessed Sacrament and just challenge them to remain silent and allow the Lord to speak to them, to encounter the Lord. And then they will begin to understand what you're saying. And then their lives will be transformed, absolutely transformed,
Chris,
once they recognize what you've said.
We have to go to a break, but thank you very, very much for that call, Chris. The question of the hour, what is love? Bishop Frank Caggiano taking your calls on that question. We'll be right back with more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check, our president, joins us now in studio to talk to you about early bird pricing.
Early bird pricing is coming to an end.
I know. I can't believe it's almost July 2nd, and early bird pricing will be over. Fini.
What early bird pricing for what, Si?
For the Catholic Answers Conference, the title of which is The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. That's September 26th through 29th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful and sunny San Diego.
And it is especially relevant that we're doing this pitch for the conference today because we are so fortunate. Our keynote speaker at the conference is also the guest on the show this hour, Bishop Frank Caggiano of Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I don't mean to embarrass His Excellency, but the word is that he is the single best speaker in the whole USCCB.
Well, Pope's keep inviting him to the World Youth Day to talk to the young.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, my friends, just because you go through Episcopal ordination, consecration, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good speaker. But this man, well, I know you can tell just from the hour, but he's got that Brooklyn accent. And when he gets behind the podium and the Holy Ghost power starts coursing through his veins, you're going to love hearing Bishop Frank Caggiano talk. And Excellency, at the break, we were talking about your talk for this conference, which is on the apostolic and patristic age, where we're arguing, in fact, that the Catholic Church was the church from the very first. But you're going to be talking about how we can, in our own time of crisis, and let's be frank about it, the church is staring at crisis or crises right now. In our own time of crisis, we can draw inspiration from the fathers who had crises of their own that they had to deal with.
Without a doubt. I mean, all of the challenges we are facing in the contemporary world were faced either by the primitive or the patristic church.
Right.
And the fathers of the church, who were extraordinary heroes of faith, by their words and by their example, give us the roadmap of how we can seek renewal personally and ecclesially.
Folks, if you want to hear this talk, you're going to have to join us, and you're going to have to sign up for the full conference, because Bishop Caggiano is keynoting our banquet, and that comes with the full conference. And those, we can take about 1,000 at the whole conference, but only at about 600 at the banquet. So early bird expires July 2nd, right, Cy?
Yes, is July 2nd, early bird's over.
And then...
The room block is winding down. Yeah, we've got fewer than a third of the rooms left, and we've got
fewer than a quarter at this point. Yeah, right. In fact, Eric and I were at the hotel last week, and there are not a lot of rooms left. This is going to be a fantastic conference, my friends. You'll have the whole speaking team, of course, Jimmy, Tim, Cy...
Trent, Carlo,
right. We'll do the live radio show. But we also have more outside speakers than we've ever had. Father David McConey from St. Louis, Monsignor Eugene Morris, also from St. Louis, another powerful speaker. Father Paul Cech is going to give two lunchtime talks, one on the spiritual life, one on the moral life. And then Rod Bennett, the historian with the Southern accent.
That's pretty good. This is like the best one we've ever done. Are you sure you're charging enough?
We are not charging enough.
Come on, Chris.
I think you know this. The amount we charge does not really cover the cost of the conference. There are generous people who help underwrite it, and that's how we keep the cost down.
So special early bird pricing almost done. It's done on July 2nd, and you can get that special room rate still for $154 a night. For more information and to register, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com. Again, it's September 26th through the 29th right here in San Diego, CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Featuring Bishop Frank Caggiano of the Diocese of Bridgeport. Praise God.
Well, amen. Chris, thank you. Listen, Chris, thank you for the invite to come. It's for me, it's an honor, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
And we're going to put you on a surfboard, Excellency.
Oh, my God. And you're going to see Chris and his...
They're fine. Go right ahead.
Are you going to be wearing your huaraches and your Mexican pullover?
Very Southern California.
Yeah, all right.
Praise God. All right. Take care, gentlemen.
God bless.
Let's go to Griffin in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Griffin, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Bishop Frank Caggiano.
My question is, how do we reconcile the very intense and personal love of Jesus with the fact that it's through suffering that we get to know him? And specifically in the vein of St. John the Apostle, the most beloved disciple of Jesus, died alone on an island. And I don't quite, I'm trying to grapple with trying to reconcile those two things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can reconcile them in this sense, is that if you go back to the definition and say, love is willing the good of another, then that is done in the pouring out of one's life, and that those could be intense moments of suffering, but they could also be intense moments of joy as well. That could be done in ordinary ways as well as extraordinary ways. So John was the only apostle, I believe, that was not martyred for the faith. And yet he had an intense love for the Lord, as the other apostles did, and to him was entrusted Our Lady to be cared for. So his self-offering was not in this extraordinary outpouring of himself that perhaps could have resulted in his martyrdom, but it was probably in many, many ordinary acts of self-gift and sacrifice, as well as even moments of joy. I think what I don't want this to come across as, it has to only be in moments of intense suffering, because they are privileged moments, but they are not the only moments. So I think you can have both, provided that the intent is always to will the good of the other, whether that's sharing a cup of coffee or intensely telling them the truth or challenging them or perhaps even giving your life for them. Griffin, does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Griffin. Thanks very much for the call. Let us go then to, I think it's Ashley up next. Ashley in Virginia. Do I have you there, Ashley? You there with us, Ashley?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Ashley. Yes, your question for Bishop Frank Caggiano.
Yes. Hi, Bishop. So my question is around the Bible verse. Matthew 6:25, and it says, "Do not be anxious about the things of your life." And then it goes on to discuss how, you know, even the birds and the flowers, they don't worry about where their food comes from. It's all been taken care of. And so I'm just having a hard time, you know, not being anxious or trying to give my complete and total trust to God when, you know, we can just turn on the TV and see all of the really bad things happening, or look back in history, you know, the Holocaust, slavery, even today with immigrants. So it's just hard to, you know, trust God or put that trust in God when there's still so much chaos happening.
And I can sympathize, because I, by personality, are prone to worry and be anxious too. So you have a kindred spirit in me. But having said that, I think trust is something, particularly when we speak about trusting in God's love. I mean, we do know God loves us, and we do know God will take care of us. That's the definition of hope in the end. But for those of us who are more prone to worry, maybe, or be anxious about certain things, then I think that becomes part of our daily prayer. Lord, help me to trust you more. Help me to surrender more. And there are some days that are easier than others. But when you describe the state of the world, I mean, that is the result of our collective choices. Much of what we are struggling with are the consequence of choices that people are making, either to love or not to, to will other people's good or not to. And in a society where you hope most of the decisions are to will the good of someone else, there has to be a common good. And we've lost that oftentimes in America, that what is the good for all of us to rally around. That's slowly disintegrating, and therefore the bad news will not diminish over time. So what's the solution to the whole thing? I think in the end, there was a beautiful image that gives me great consolation when I get anxious or I worry about the things around me or the things. I have a 4-year-old grandniece. I have a 2-year-old grandnephew, and I love them dearly. And I say to myself, what type of world are they growing up in, where there's so much hatred and violence and division and coldness of heart? This is the image that gives me consolation. I want to share it with you. Many years ago, a very, very elderly and saintly priest said to me that in baptism, God takes us into the palm of his hands. And when he grabs hold, he never lets go. And he would tell me, when he would see me worried, he said, "Remember the palm of the hand." And that gives me great consolation when I worry, that I'm sitting right there in God's hand, as you are. And even though we think we're going to fall off, he won't let us fall off. So I hope that gives you some consolation, some strength, because the problems are not going to go away anytime soon. But in the end, God will our good always, and we're sitting in that palm, and he's not going to let go.
Ashley, thank you very, very much. Appreciate that call.
Thank you, Ashley.
Bishop, I feel like when you talk about love, especially for our young people, it's exactly the message that they need to hear, but they don't hear it because there's all kinds of stuff in the way of them hearing that message. I guess they're getting so many other messages. Any thoughts on how to get this message through to the young?
Yeah, I think it's the old adage, actions speak louder than words. Because at this point, in the information technological world in which we live, there's plenty of words and very little action. And if there is a call to arms, if I were to give a call to arms, remember we had talked before about, you know, the call to action, and almost like a militancy, then it is to live love in a real, clear, intentional, and substantial way. Not to give license to anybody, but young people want to see it in action.
Bishop, may we have your blessing before we go?
Certainly. May the Lord in his loving kindness continue to bless you, all those Catholic Answers Live, all who listen to your programming, all those, Lord, who seek you with a sincere heart. Bless us, guide us, and help us to be true missionaries of love, your love in the world. We ask your blessing In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Frank Caggiano has been our guest. He'll be the keynote speaker at our upcoming conference. Bishop, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate that you took the time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I hope we'll get to do it again. Coming up next, Jimmy Akins here. An hour of open forum. See you for that right after this.